You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
I didn't open last week's show with a short list of all the things I'm thankful for. My bad. For the record, friends, family, impeachment proceedings, Magnum subscribers. But it's just as well I didn't get to my list last week before the show because my list grew over the weekend. In addition to family, friends, impeachment proceedings, Magnum subscribers, actually all my listeners, Magnum or not, I am thankful for three good girls and one bad man that I read about this weekend. First up, the girls. A substitute teacher in Utah at Deerfield Elementary, a public school in Cedar Hills, suburb of Salt Lake City. This substitute teacher asked a room full of fifth graders to take turns sharing something they were thankful for. The sub in this context is a reference to substitute teacher, of course, and not the subs we usually talk about on this show. Anyway, the sub was doing what subs do best, killing time. Most of the kids said they were thankful for turkey or mashed potatoes or pie, but one kid, an 11-year-old boy, shared something meaningful, something he was truly thankful for this year. He was happy his two dads were going to legally adopt him. The sub snapped, "Why would you be happy about that?" and then unleashed a torrent of anti-gay abuse. Homosexuality is wrong. Two men living together is sinful. Being adopted by sinners is nothing to be thankful for. And this boy, oh, my heart aches. This poor kid shut down because he'd been through two failed adoptions already, and he was worried that his dads might change their minds about adopting him if they found out what happened at school. And this is where the three girls come in. According to the Salt Lake Tribune, three girls in that classroom told the sub to shut the fuck up more than once. And when she didn't, when she continued to berate this poor kid who was looking forward to finally having a permanent home, these three girls walked out of that classroom, went straight to the principal, and demanded that the principal do something. And this is how we know it was a public school in Utah. The principal did something. The principal rushed to the classroom, fired the sub on the spot, and escorted her from the building. Those three girls, so thankful for them. Whoever raised them, they raised them right. Sticking up for the kid with gay parents can't be easy in Utah, not even in a public school. And the bravery those girls showed, truly inspiring. Also kind of perversely thankful right now for a bad man. I'm grateful to Father Eric Dudley, a hero to religious conservatives everywhere, for proving yet again that the loudest anti-gay voices in the room, the most vocal anti-gay bigots, are, to put it delicately, almost always externalizing an internal conflict. To put it indelicately, gargling cum. Father Dudley is the founder of St. Peter's Anglican Church in Tallahassee, Florida, founded it in 2005. And when you hear about the founding of the church, well, you could say that Father Dudley has a flair for the dramatic, or you could say that Father Dudley is a bit of a drama queen. Take it away, Tallahassee Democrat. Dudley served as rector of St. John's Episcopal Church from 1995 to 2005 when he announced from the pulpit one Sunday morning he was leaving to start a new church over what he called deeply unrepentant heresies in the Episcopal Church. Those heresies? Are you sitting down? Ordaining openly gay priests and bishops. Can't have that because homosexuality is a sin, says Father Dudley. Sick, 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 sick and sinful. And so, so wrong. And we all know where this is going, don't we? According to the results of an internal investigation, Father Dudley was subjecting aspiring priests and young men to sexual misconduct and harassment, showering young men with attention and gifts and jobs at the church, even as he publicly espoused anti-gay views, even as, and also luring young men into hotel rooms where they would find one king-size bed, which Father Dudley would then blame on the hotel. There was a mistake. He asked for a room with two beds. And then in the middle of the night, he would sexually assault them. If there's anything we should all know by now about the loudest anti-gay bigots, particularly the religious ones, it's that they can't be trusted alone in a hotel room with a hot seminarian. Not any more than they can be trusted, it seems, in a classroom full of fifth graders. And just as I'm thankful for those girls, for sticking up for their classmate, I'm thankful for Father Dudley for the always timely reminder that anti-gay bigots, and there are so many of them in public life still, are the real sickos. All right, coming up on today's show on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and on the magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast that you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com. That show is twice as long and has no ads and more guests. A reader who did a deep dive on all of my columns, all of my letters of the day, joins us to share what she learned after reading everything I've ever written about anything. Thanks to Roman for supporting the Savage Lovecast. Roman is a men's health company that offers remote online diagnosis for ED and convenient monthly delivery of medication. For a free online visit and free two-day shipping, go to getroman.com/savage. Me Undies makes feel-good underpants your butt will be proud to wear and you will be proud to be seen in. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own, and to check it out yourself, go to meundies.com/savage. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Pill Club, the birth control subscription that's delivered right to your door. Get a special care package with your first delivery. Go to thepillclub.com/savage.
Hey, Dan, I'm a cisgender white male, 38 years old, recently single, and I went on a date with a woman about last week and had one of the best dates I've ever had in my life. It was charisma, like we got along mentally, there was good banter, we did had a lot of things in common and everything like that. The next day, she messaged me telling me that she would love to hang out again the following week. But she had to be straightforward with me. She doesn't feel that romantic spark, that, you know, thing that you need. But she thought I would be a great friend. And she spent all day trying to figure out if she wanted to actually try to go on another romantic date with me. But she doesn't feel that she can get that spark if she doesn't have it initially. I'm a pretty open-minded guy. I do have a lot of female friends. But I'm trying to decide if it's worth going out with somebody that I'm clearly into more than they are. Just as friends, or if I should just walk away and maybe reapproach the subject whenever I'm in a relationship and I might not find for her as much. Because it's hard for me to find somebody I have a connection with this many common interests and banter. And I don't know, part of me wants to say, yes, let's be friends. I had a great time. Let's continue this. Another part of me says, I don't want to be that guy that pines over somebody who we all know, someone who has straight people, gay people, everyone has that friend they know is pining over someone that they're never going to get with. So do you have any advice what I should do in this situation? Should I just walk away? Should I give it time and maybe try to approach being friends, or just be friends and see what happens?
Oh man, that sucks when it's the best date that you've been on in ages or ever, and it clearly isn't the best date they've ever been on in ages or forever. That sometimes happens. Sometimes people don't reciprocate our feelings for them, you know, after years together, feelings can die, or, you know, after a couple hours together, feelings just aren't there. You weren't looking for a friend. You weren't looking for a new friend. You have friends. You went out on a date with this woman because you're interested in finding a romantic partner, and you were very attracted to this woman. You felt that spark. And a friendship isn't what you were after, and a friendship, at least from your end, would probably be complicated, not by ulterior motives, because you sound like an honest, straightforward guy, and you're not going into this friendship. You don't suggest you're going into this friendship in the hopes of leveraging out of her what you wanted from her in the first place, or wanted after that date, which was a romantic relationship. You would be trying to downshift and adjust your expectations and going into the friendship wanting a friendship. But that friendship would be perhaps painful for you, or you would subconsciously have these ulterior motives and you would live in hope and you would be the person, as you say, pining after this friend. And yeah, that's not a recipe for a healthier, functional friendship. Those friends we know who are in those compromised friendships, who've compromised for friendship, who pine for this person, those are rarely healthy relationships. And sometimes they're exploitative relationships where the person who knows they're being pined after is manipulating and exploiting the person who is pining after them for emotional support or just a kind of romantic attention or affirmation. that really the person doing the pining should be directing that attention and energy elsewhere. Even if they don't have anyone right now to direct it toward, they should be directing that energy toward finding someone else that they can direct that time and attention, romantic energy at. So yeah, you're not a bad guy if somebody that you went on a date with that you felt that spark for didn't feel it and offers you a friendship and you decline because you have friends and that's not what you were after. You should be polite. If you run into this person, you are acquaintances. You've made each other's acquaintance, but you don't have to be friends. And it probably wouldn't be a healthy friendship if you tried. And I'm sorry to say, because I'm an asshole, the offer of friendship may not have been sincere. It may have been the consolation prize at the end of what she knew was a good date for you, but wasn't a good date for her. Sometimes people say that, oh, it's not you, it's me. Let's be friends is sometimes a thing people say to let someone down easy. Like, I liked you, you were a nice guy, I didn't feel it. It may not be the case that she intends to make a lot of room in her life for you as a friend either, and she was just being kind. So the hand-wringing that you're doing about whether or not you should have this friendship may be a waste of time and effort and energy.
Hello, Dan, Nancy, and the tech-savvy Atlas Youth. I am a 30-year-old non-binary person in Central Europe, and I'm calling about a situation I'm trying to navigate, which is kind of new to me. I met a guy about 2 months ago on Tinder after temporarily moving to a new city for work, and we had sex on our second meeting, which was really amazing and fulfilling. A few days after having sex, he tells me that while he enjoyed it, he has also realized that there are certain personal issues he has not resolved and would prefer to put physical intimacy on hold and remain friendly for the time being. Over the past few months, we have gone to lunch, gone on walks, bowling, darts, gotten high and watched YouTube videos. I have met his friends and hung out with them independently. We've talked about our struggles with mental health and relationships, and he has been emotionally supportive during my time here and has really lived up to what he said about being friends. Recently, I've noticed he's initiated small acts of physical affection, such as touching my arm, playing with my hair, and generally reducing the personal space around us. He has invited me over to his house to sleep over twice. This last time, a few days ago, he asked me if we could cuddle before going to sleep, to which I agreed. We continued to cuddle even in the morning before I left, which is really nice, in and of itself, really tender and satisfying. My dilemma is this. I would like to continue escalating the physical affection, by which I don't mean necessarily having sex, but I don't know if it's my place, since he is the one who set the initial boundary. Because of the conversations we've had, I know he has a number of issues with intimacy, due in part to a couple of traumatic past relationships. If he's indicating he wants to escalate our physical intimacy, I definitely want to reciprocate. However, I want to be respectful of not making him feel uncomfortable or possibly harming him by pushing him into physical intimacy he's not ready for. Any thoughts, Dan?
There's nothing disrespectful about a direct question. He made a statement to you after that first time that you guys had sex that he wasn't interested in having a sexual relationship with you or wasn't in a place where he could have a sexual relationship right now, but would like to have a friendship. And you guys pivoted, it sounds like you pivoted successfully, to a friendship. And then he began to initiate physical contact with you, playing with your hair, reducing the space between you physically, inviting you to sleep over, inviting you to cuddle. He obviously wants some form of intimate relationship. He obviously has some kind of intimate relationship or intimate connection to you. And it is not bullying or unfair or pressure-y of you to say to him, I'm a little confused. I'm enjoying our friendship. I'm enjoying the intimacy that seems to be a part of our friendship. I would still be up for sex and still be up for, you know, more intimacy and sexual intimacy. And you know, it has been my experience in the past that when people cuddle, when people play with each other's hair, when people touch each other's arms, that they're also interested in sexual intimacy. If you're not, that's fine. I just need some clarity. That's not pressure. That's you using your words in the same direct manner that he used his words with at the start of your relationship. So you're confused. He's the one confusing you. Ask him for clarity. That's not pressuring him to do anything that he doesn't want to do. That's just, again, seeking clarity. He's sending you mixed messages right now. Tell him you want one clear message. You need to renew your birth control prescription? Want to switch up your birth control? Maybe try birth control for the first time? If you know what you want, or even if you don't know where to start, Pill Club has your back. Pill Club is a birth control subscription that is delivered straight to your door. Most prescriptions are free with insurance or Medicaid. It can be as low as $3.99 per month without. Shipping is always free and discreet, and Pill Club schedules deliveries so you always have your next dose on hand before you need it. So skip the office visit, skip the line at the pharmacy, and join the club. And right now, our listeners who go to thepillclub.com/savage get a new way to get birth control and special care packages with every delivery. That's thepillclub.com/savage to get your first birth control care package. Remember, thepillclub.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. This is a gay male in early 30s living in a metropolitan area. I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for about 10 months. A few months ago, we opened up a relationship and it's been pretty challenging. My boyfriend loves threesomes and he loves the idea of me having sex with other men. The problem is that it is hard to find someone that we are both into. You know, our types are very different. So up until recently, we decided to have fully open relationship where we play separately. I am having a hard time dealing with it because I get jealous and I feel weird when he goes out and hooks up with other men. He wants to do it a few times a week and he loves to go out and party. When we go out on the weekends, his mission is to find a guy to hook up with, but sometimes I just want to come home and crash and go to sleep. When he goes out, he gets horny and he likes the idea of having sex with new guys to the point where sometimes he would invite guys over for sex while I'm there. So I sleep on the couch some nights while he's hooking up. I get sad because I don't feel like I'm his priority, and he says that it's just sex and he just wants to get off. We share a lot of values together and I love being with him and he makes me happy. And most importantly, I see myself being with him. But because of this issue, I thought about breaking up. I talked to him many times about this issue and I want to handle it the best way possible, but I'm not sure how. He says he needs more and he's a very sexual guy. He says he loves being in a relationship with me and he loves the values we share. So, is it normal that he wants to have sex with other men multiple times a week, sometimes multiple times a day? What is the best way to handle this so that we can both be in a position that feels equal and content about being in an open relationship?
Sexual compatibility is important, right?
Yeah.
And you guys don't sound sexually compatible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a sexual connection and that works. But when it comes to, you know, how to define your open relationship and what's allowed in your open relationship, when it comes to non-monogamy, it really doesn't sound like you two are on the same page. And you gotta be. You know, monogamy is one thing and everybody understands what that is. You know, here are two people. They only have sex with each other. They're in a long-term committed relationship. Non-monogamy, here are two people. And then what? Well, there's all sorts of different forms of non-monogamous relationship can take. It can be DADT. It can be, you know, nobody we know, not in our city. There can be all sorts of rules and limits. And it sounds like you would like some rules and limits that result in fewer outside contacts and more focus on each other. And he just wants to have sex with everybody in the city where you live. And that's going to be an engine of conflict in your relationship that unless he is willing to dial it way the fuck back is going to ultimately explode your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just logistically having sex multiple times a week or multiple times a day with other people is going to eat up so much of his time, mental, physical, and sexual energy that there's not going to be much left for you. How long have you two been going out again?
Almost a year.
And how much sex do you two have if he's having sex with multiple people a day or multiple people a week besides you?
We have it pretty regularly, maybe 5 times a week.
So he's a very sexual guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes new partners and he likes the hunt, it sounds like. And you live in a place, I'm guessing, where there's a lot of sexual opportunity. But how do you feel about that?
We're trying to work it out and see what the right balance is. And he's been trying to see, you know, what the right balance is for him too. And I mean, it's pretty recent, pretty new where we stand. Yeah.
It's pretty recent that you opened the relationship.
Yes. Yeah.
So the relationship was closed, and successfully so, for how long?
Like a good maybe 8-9 months. Yeah.
Okay, so I will allow for the possibility that he's kid in the candy shopping this right now.
Yes, and he also came out pretty late in life, so it's pretty recent. It's been maybe 5 years since he came out, so he sort of kind of want to also experience more.
And is enjoying the attention and affirmation.
I think so.
And you've been out for longer, and you've gotten plenty of attention and affirmation, and you're a bit chiller?
Yeah. Yes.
But how does it make you feel when you go out with him, and he immediately turns his attention from you to, like, finding some other guy to go home with, or bringing some other guy to your place?
It bums me out, yeah.
Because it excludes you.
Yes, I feel sometimes, yeah.
Because you're not attracted to the same types. That's why having three ways wasn't successful.
Correct.
And so the guys that he's attracted to aren't attracted to you, and vice versa. And so you're sort of outside of his sexual adventures. These aren't adventures you're on together. You're also not a cuckold, so it's not like really hot for you to be excluded. It's not like active erotic exclusion. It's just the afterthought and being set aside.
That's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't see how that's going to be anything but an engine of pain for you, unless, you know, he puts a limit on the how often this happens with other people, or it becomes a DADT. And one of the benefits of DADT in a situation where, you know, the people my partner is attracted to aren't attracted to me and vice versa, is for it to be successfully don't tell. You can't do it all the time. You can't do it constantly. You can't do it in front of your partner's face. You can't go out with your partner and pick up somebody else because that's a tell, right? So it imposes certain limits that require a certain degree of discretion and consideration for your partner's, you know, ability to live in that bubble of not denial about the fact that you're in an open relationship, but, you know, to live in the don't tell bubble where I'm not being told all the time and I'm not having to think about it all the time and I'm not feeling neglected because I don't feel like anything's being taken away from me because I'm not being ditched in a bar for him to go home with somebody else or sent to my room while he has sex with somebody else in my living room.
Yeah. It bums me out, but I also want to give him the freedom of what he wants to do, and I feel like I should be more accepting of being an open, but it's been a little challenging.
Yeah, but no. You can be accepting of being open, yeah, but not accept this degree of inconsideration. Like, you're allowed to have feelings, and you're allowed to say, this pace, this amount of outside sexual contact, this, you know, these numbers make me feel bad, make me feel unvalued, make me feel undesirable, make me feel, you know, and I'm the guy who tells people all the time, you're not enough. Like, oh, I feel inadequate. Well, you should, because no one person is enough for any other one person, and everyone, you know, settling down requires some settling for. I'm the not enough guy. No one is enough, right? But, you know, you don't want your partner to behave in such a way that makes you feel like not just like you have some inadequacies. We all have inadequacies, but you bring nothing to the table, or you can never meet their needs, or they require platoons of other partners. Do you guys live together?
No, we don't, but we spend a lot of time together.
And so how is it that if you guys don't live together, he's bringing people to your apartment?
Oh, it's more like when we go out and then we come back together, he just starts looking for the guys, and then I just want to go to bed sometimes, and he just kind of just randomly invites people and does it, yeah.
Maybe he needs to be single right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys can be friends, and maybe you can circle back in a year or two. If he needs to, you know, go through an enormous slut phase and being the partner of someone going, and, you know, we've all, you know, most gay men have their big slut phases, particularly gay men in big cities. If he needs to go through this, he may need to go through this to experience this alone and single, so that he isn't, you know, pushing your feelings or pushing you through a wood chipper in the process. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, you say you share values and you have a good time together and you really like each other. You can, you know, connect with somebody emotionally and look at them and say, just, you know, where we're at the stage in our lives, we're not right or good for each other at this moment. Mm-hmm. So you need to go off or go to med school or go have your big slut phase or, you know, you've always wanted to travel the world and backpack around the world for 2 years and I'm holding you back from that. Go do that. And then let's see where we are in 2 years or a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can part mm-hmm. now without a lot of anger or recrimination, with just this kind of sad acknowledgement that like right now isn't the time for us, then we might be in a place to pick this back up in 12 months. But if we keep pushing this, if we keep grinding away now, you know, it's going to explode. And then there will yeah. be no circling back in 12 months or 2 years or 24 months, which, you know, when you're young, sounds like an eternity, mm-hmm. but when you're as old as I am, does not sound like an eternity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's asking you to endure a lot. Like an open relationship is a negotiation and it requires compromise, right? Everything around, you know, the numbers of outside contacts, who those outside contacts can be, in our apartment, not in our apartment, people I know, people I don't know, people in our time zone, not in our time zone. And it has to be something that both people agree to for their own sense of not just sexual safety and physical safety, but also emotional safety, emotional comfort. And you're in a place right now where the amount of sex he has with the amount of people that he has sex with leaves you feeling not good, emotionally unsafe in your relationship and devalued in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And so he's either going to have to adjust or you're going to have to call it off for now. That doesn't mean call it off forever.
Mm-hmm.
And let him have his come springa. If that's the issue, that he only came out recently and he never had this like tear through the city, tear through every ass in town stage, let him go have his come springa. And then when he's done with that, which doesn't mean he'll be like ready for monogamy, but when he's done with this pace, this number of guys addicted to Grindr, addicted to going out, multiple partners a day, when he's done with that, then he might be ready for a relationship with you. But right now he's not.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's great. No, this is very helpful. No, this is really helpful. I just, it's just nice to hear from you. And, it's been, yeah, no, I think it all makes sense. And thank you for the great advice.
You're welcome. Good luck. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't always easy. Sometimes people brush it off or they blame themselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we just avoid the topic altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm not feeling it. And then you wind up just avoiding sex and it becomes this sex negative feedback loop. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. It is easy to get out of that trap. You can get connected with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication that's really effective. It's simple, it's safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. And getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/savage and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today, connect with a doctor, and get it taken care of. Just go to GetRoman.com/savage to get that free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/savage for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I have like a moral question about a dating app issue. So I recently matched with a guy on Tinder and we made plans to meet up within like the next week or so. And about 2.5 hours before we met up, he was like, well, this doesn't really matter anyway, because you're probably going to ghost me after we meet up. And I said, well, why would I ghost you? And he said, because I don't look the same as I do on my profile because I've been sick. So I asked him to send me like a current picture of him. And I just wasn't attracted to him in the same way that I was in the profile. He did look a lot different, which sucks. But I told him I wasn't interested anymore, and he got pretty upset and said that, like, personality matters over looks and that he doesn't even want to hang out with me anyway if I don't believe that. So I guess I just want to know, like, do you think I'm in the wrong? Do you think I should have given him a chance? Or I guess should the pictures just be consistent in the first place to avoid that kind of confusion?
Misleading, inaccurate, or ancient pics on a dating profile or hookup app are essentially a lie. You were lied to. So you were not in the wrong. He was in the wrong. If personality is what matters, then he should lead with accurate pics and lead with his personality. You don't put out a picture of Brad Pitt and Thelma and Louise and then get angry when you show up in your Dom DeLuise, who I'm sure you're all going to have to pause the show and go Google because nobody knows who Dom DeLuise is. Another 40-year-old pop culture reference. You're welcome. But yeah, you were not in the wrong. He was in the wrong. He had no right to be angry with you. At least he leveled with you before the meeting. Often people who use dishonest, misleading, or ancient pictures will show up and put you in the uncomfortable position of having to reject them to their face. And that's a very manipulative thing to do because that's hard to reject somebody to their face. And people who use old, misleading, inaccurate, or not their pics will often put somebody in the position of having to do that, hoping that they won't follow through, hoping that they'll go on the date or have the sex with them to avoid the awkwardness or unpleasantness of rejecting them to their face. So yeah, no, you did nothing wrong. He did something wrong. As soon as he started to blow up at you, you had every right to block him, and I hope you've blocked him now. I'm always here to help you solve your most pressing problems. Problems like what to give people as presents in this mandated holiday gift-giving season. I have an answer for you. MeUndies. Go to MeUndies. It's the one-stop shopping spot to get gifts that people will really actually love, delivered straight to your door with free shipping, and giving someone underpants is ridiculous, and therefore kind of perfect. MeUndies wants you to know that it's okay to not leave the house as much this winter in sizes extra small to 4XL with plenty of brand new products. The options for staying home and staying cozy in your new MeUndies or the MeUndies you've gifted someone are endless. When they say cozy, they mean it. MeUndies wear is 3 times softer than cotton in the cutest wintry prints and colors that you've ever seen. You've heard me rave about my MeUndies lounge pants, and it's sincere. I love my MeUndies lounge pants. I have 4 pairs now. I am not a clothes horse. I am not the buy a lot of anything kind of guy that, you know, my husband is, if you follow him on Instagram. But I keep ordering myself more of these lounge pants because I always want to have a clean and cozy pair because I love them so much. MeUndies also has robes for women and men, lounge pants for everyone, not just for me, soft new slippers and onesies for adults, and a cute new baby bodysuit. Everyone wins. There's a gift for everyone. There's a gift for you at MeUndies. And MeUndies has a great offer, a great gift for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because MeUndies has a 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/savage. That's MeUndies.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 40-something-year-old cis-hetero female in the Southeast U.S., and I'm calling with a problem that I thought I would never have. I have been married twice, and I've dated in between significantly. So I've experienced a lot of penises out there. And so I'm at a point in my life where I was open to love again, open to a relationship again. So I started dating this guy, super nice, just wonderful person, and wanted to take it slow. We actually have gone out on 7 dates and hadn't done anything physically. So last night we did for the first time, and I encountered something I've never seen before in person. He has the whitest cock I've ever encountered. it would not fit. It maybe a third, maybe a fourth went in. I have had no problems accommodating before. And I, if I would have had slept with him like day one or two, I would not even, I would be scared and run away from it. Just holding it is like frightening because it's just overwhelming. And again, I've had my fair share of fun over the last several decades. So I wanted to know if you had advice for me or especially your callers who have to accommodate significantly large men. I am GGG. I like to explore everything. He had said in the past that he'd only had anal once. And at the time I thought, oh, poor thing. And after seeing it, I thought, no, I get it. I describe some men as having like hot dog, you know, hot dogs. Some men have sausages, and this guy has a sweet potato. If you can imagine that, it's like a sort of a normal tip, and then it gets really wide, and then, oh, I just don't even know what to do with it. We're both in the medical field, so it's not pathologic. It's just he's on that bell-shaped curve of the upper end. So I would appreciate, besides the obvious silicone lube, relaxing, maybe a little substance to help me relax. Other than that, I would really appreciate your advice and your listeners' advice. Thanks so much.
We'll toss this one out to the listeners. If there's anyone out there who has a partner or partners with super wide dicks, sticks up there at the far end of the bell curve, how did you learn to take them? How did you learn to work with or around them? I had a boyfriend once whose dick was impractical. It was too big. A dick can be too big. About all you could use his dick for was knocking out drywall during an apartment renovation. You couldn't really use it for intercourse, but it was great for outer course. It was great for frottage. You could clamp your thighs, your cheeks around it, and he could plow away. And there's this position you get in where you clamp your thighs around somebody's dick, and then you, if they're coming at you from behind, and you put your hands down between your legs too, and you get them very lubey to cup the dick as it's coming between your thighs. And it feels for the person who's penetrating your thighs with your their cock and your hands, it feels very much like intercourse if you get it nice and lubey and wet and do it right. And for some people with giant fucking dicks, that's as good as they're gonna get. That said, you know, a vagina can push out a human being. It can take a big dick. And there are certainly people who, in the butt, Bob, can take very large toys, fists, arms. It is possible. And the butt bounces back. If you take it slow and you learn how to relax the sphincter muscles, you can give him another anal sex experience. But you have to work up to it very slowly, gradually over time. You're not going to be able to sink your ass right down on that person's dick. But let's toss this out to the callers. Anybody else out there been with somebody over the long term who had a giant dick and you went from can't, couldn't, no way, not going to happen to yes, can, lots of ways. We make that happen. Give us a call. Let us know what you did, how you did it. 206-302-2064.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 25-year-old queer woman who, until recently, had only been attracted to and had sex with other women. But a month and a half ago, I started having a pretty fantastic fling with a bi guy. He's great about consent and communication and taking things at my pace, which has been really helpful because I don't think I'd even seen a dick in person before we started having sex. And when we started off, I told him right off the bat that I didn't ever really want to have his dick in my vagina for a number of reasons. I've always found penetrative sex painful. I'm not on birth control. And I guess mild trigger warning for listeners, I've also been sexually violated in the past. So it's not exactly something I was super excited to try. But we've done a lot of other hot shit, and I've been toying with the idea of actually letting him put his dick in my vagina because I trust him and all the sex we've had so far has been great. But here's the thing. I recently found out that apparently he doesn't consider anything except penis in vagina to be sex. So like in his mind, we've played around and done sex adjacent things, but we haven't actually had sex. which is really fucking weird to me because in my mind, we've been having tons of sex. And especially as a woman who primarily has sex with other women, the idea that sex is only penis and vagina is like insulting. I don't know. It just seems like such a dumb straight boy way of thinking. But again, he's bi and self-describes as non-vanilla. It just, we've talked a little bit about the linguistic disconnect between the two of us before, and we joke around about it, but it's honestly really starting to bother me. And since penetration is already kind of fraught for me to begin with, it's kind of making me not want to try it after all. I just, like, we've given each other multiple orgasms. I fucked him in the ass. He put his face all up in my vagina, which to me seems way more personal and intimate than his dick would be. So how is that not sex? I mean, to be honest, I'll probably get over it and we'll probably try it before this even airs because I'm very attracted to him and I'm curious to see how it is. So it's, I guess, not really that big of a deal, but I still want to hear what your take is on this anyway. What the fuck is the definition of sex? Or if, I guess, there are multiple definitions, how do you reconcile people having two different definitions of sex that don't align?
What the fuck is the definition of sex? Well, I think the broader your definition of sex, the more sex you're going to wind up having. I've encountered people who insist that sex is just PIV, penis and vagina, that if there isn't vaginal intercourse, there wasn't sex. Sometimes I will point to my husband and say, there's Terry. He has never had vaginal intercourse. Are you telling me he's a virgin? Well, no, he's got, you know, he said PIA. That's the equivalent. Okay. Setting Terry aside. You walk in, there's your wife on her knees, sucking some man's dick. Is she cheating on you? Is she having sex with another man? Well, yes, she is. I imagine this bi guy who's into pegging, this bi guy who's eating your pussy, this bi guy that you're attracted to, this bi guy whose dick is probably by the time this airs already been in your vagina, knows he's being silly. And he's just throwing this out there, sex is vaginal intercourse, because vaginal may be for him the ultimate, the best kind of sex, the sex he desires most. And he's also throwing this around because it gets your goat and he's trying to be a playful pegged asshole about it. But I can't believe this bi guy whose ass you fucked doesn't think that when you fucked his ass that you two were having sex. Honestly, doesn't believe that when you were pegging him that that wasn't sex. That beggars belief. That buggers belief, actually. I think he's just, in addition to trying to get your pussy, trying to get your goat. And successfully so.
Hello, Dan, Nancy, and Tickies. I'm a mid-30s male, predominantly straight, from the U.S., but I've lived overseas for more than a decade. I am very much a kinkster into rope and leather BDSM, and the scene in this country has been very much in the closeted shadows, but in the last few years, it's starting to become open, and there's starting to be some SM bars and clubs and some rope schools that just weren't there even a year and a half ago. This is good. This is fun. I am married. I do have friends who are expat kinksters and who are local kinksters, but I don't know a ton of the foreigners because it's kind of a revolving door. Every few years, people leave. Just they don't stay here for that long. So at one of the rope schools, I started becoming platonic friends with one of the female locals. And as you know, the months have gone by and she's good friends with my wife as well. Like none of this is questionable in that sense. As the months have gone by, she's now started to confide in me that she is not just a bunny, but a masochist as well. And she told me a few nights ago that she has a deep interest, not just for me to help her get a foreign dom, which she's asked me a few times, but she really wants to fulfill a fantasy, which is her in a hotel room blindfolded, not know who the person is. Simply, the door opens, a male comes in, he's sadistic, she's masochistic. When they're done, he leaves her there. She's blind for the whole time. No names, no contact info, nothing. And she wants me to help fulfill this fantasy. And this is troubling because it is very, very unsafe, as that's what I told her. And I don't know any male doms that are single that would that I know well enough to recommend. So I told her that the safest thing to do would basically have someone who, to be her lifeguard, bodyguard, security, that, yeah, I can help find some expats to do this to her, but I would need to stay in the room basically the entire time. And if she says the safe word, I need to make sure that's respected. Condom rules are respected, that kind of a thing. I really want to get some feedback as to if I made the correct call on this, if I missed stuff, if I should say other stuff.
You have two options here. You can find the Dom. You could be the Dom if she's going to be blindfolded the whole time. You could be the Dom that you found to dominate her in this BDSM sadist masochist scene. But this is something that actually you could set up for her, because while the Dom would be anonymous, while she wouldn't know who this person was, you would know who this person was, and you could set a high bar. There will be guys out there. There will be Doms and sadists who would very much get off on this kind of anonymous scene where the person that they're playing with, the person that they're dominating, the person that they can inflict a certain amount of pre-negotiated pain upon is anonymous to them, and they're anonymous to that person. They will never know their name and vice versa, but they will have to know your name and you will have to know their name. You're the bar that they have to clear to have this experience that they would also like to have. Just as this is a fantasy for your friend, this will be a fantasy scenario and a very desirable one for the lid to her pot, for the right sadist for her scene. So you can make demands. You're not sending someone in there whose name you don't know. You're not sending someone in there whose phone number you don't have. You're not sending someone in there that can't be held accountable. You can hold them accountable. You can also be right outside the door. Someone's going to have to show the Dom to the room where the blindfolded woman is waiting for him. Someone's going to have to give the Dom the card key that gets him into the room. That someone would be you. Now, the scene isn't ever going to be 100% safe, but vanilla sex with someone that you just met isn't always 100% safe either. Vanilla sex with somebody that you know and know well isn't always 100% safe either. But you can take steps to mitigate the risk to fulfill this varsity level BDSM kink fantasy for your friend, if that's what you want to do. You're not just putting her location on the internet and inviting anybody into her hotel room to use her. What she's asking you to do is find somebody and you screen that person. You determine whether this person can be trusted to stay within the guardrails, to only do those things that she would like done, and do them safely. And for you to keep this person's contact information, and for you to show this person to the room, and for you, with another key to the room, to hang out outside the room, hang out nearby while this is going down. All that said, if you are not comfortable setting this up for her, you are not obligated to set this up for her. All right, before we get to your response calls, let's read the tweets. WP Schlitz tweets, "Hey, Savage Lovecast, can we agree that people should specify their kink? I understand it's usually in reference to BDSM, but there's a zillion kinks and just saying you're kinky isn't helpful at all. Like that call on this week's show with the pregnant lady who wanted to continue to participate in kinky sex. Is that handcuffs and spanking or breath play and full body rubber suits? It makes a difference. Please be specific, callers." I completely agree with WP Schlitz. When you mention your kink, if it's a kink-related question, please, please specify your kink. It matters. Babylon Leather knows how I love my neologisms. Babylon Leather tweets, "Fun new term for bisexuals, ambisextress. Hashtag Savage Lovecast. Endorsed." I'm endorsing ambisextress. Just jealous I didn't think of it myself. And Sadie Brinton tweets, "Lucky to be part of a family that doesn't argue at the Thanksgiving dinner table, but did have to kick off the weekend by explaining the difference between polygamy and polyamory at breakfast. Grandparents were directed to Savage Lovecast and Fake Dan Savage. I'd like to extend a personal welcome to our newest listeners, Sadie Brinton's grandparents." If you'd like me to read your tweet on a future episode of the Savage Lovecast, be sure to use the hashtag Savage Lovecast. And now your response calls.
Hi, Dan. This is a response call to the woman that feels like maybe she might have, you know, had a Me Too moment with that woman back in college and is thinking about reaching out to her. And I just want to maybe share one of my experiences. It was with a boy back in high school, and we went to the movies, and we were kissing, and he made a move on me, and I was actually on my period and had a tampon in and kind of like asked him to stop, and he felt really, really bad, and I was too young to explain what I was going through and why it made me uncomfortable. And so he just felt really bad, and he reached out to me actually about a month ago, and he felt like he had assaulted me, and I explained to him that that's not how I felt, and I'm so sorry that you felt like you did that to me. And I don't know if that's how she feels, of course. It sounds like she might have felt a lot more uncomfortable, but to have him reach out to me, and like you said, to show that he does care and does feel bad about his action, it really gave me a lot of closure for an event that I was just confused about. So maybe reaching out to her, just a text or something, letting her know that like you had no malicious intent and that you do feel bad, maybe it would help her out.
This is in response to the caller on the last episode that said she's having trouble with dirty talk in bed. Girl, you're not listening to Dan. That was bad advice. You know what you should do? Put on some Cardi B, some Nicki Minaj. Listen to some female rappers that use like words like my pussy and just rap along to the lyrics and have fun with it. Like just do it in the car by yourself or have some drinks at home by yourself. Rap along to the lyrics. Feel yourself. Get used to hearing yourself say it. Get cute with it. And I promise, you're going to feel a lot more confident. Just give it a try.
All right, we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you want to give us a call, record a question or a comment, 206-302-2064. You can also use the Voice Memo app on your phone. It's a higher quality recording. It makes for better listening if you have the Voice Memo app on your phone, and you do. Please use it and then email us your question at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. You can give the gift of the Magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast, twice as much Savage Lovecast, no ads, more guests, by going to savagelovecast.com and clicking on gift. If you want your beloved to receive the Savage Lovecast Magnum gift on Christmas Day, then you'll have to go to the website on Christmas Day and order it for them. Then the gift arrives as soon as you purchase it. If you like my political rants at the top of the show or when I work them in all over the show, you will love me on Blabbermouth, the Stranger's weekly news and politics podcast hosted by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Eli Sanders. Join me and Eli and Rich and Katie and Jasmine and Chase and Christopher and Lester and the whole gang for Blabbermouth every week, every Wednesday. Follow me on Twitter at Fake Dan Savage. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We'll all be back at you next week for an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for having me.